speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, March 6, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today, I guess we could say that the theme is going to be stupidity. There's just so much of it in politics. It's hard to escape it. I know we talk about the stupidity, the hypocrisy, sometimes the irony of it. But today, we're going to talk about the stupidity. We have, of course, we're not going to be able to talk about stupidity in politics without revisiting Alexandria in Wonderland. And her pushback against it's multiple watchdog ethics groups, multiple former FEC chairmen, multiple FEC lawyers saying, you can't set up a PAC to benefit yourself and control that and funnel money to shell corporations, one of which hasn't even been legally filed in any state. But of course, you can get away with that if you're a Democrat, because the rules don't apply to you, do they? Certainly aren't going to apply to her. She's the darling of the media. They will defend her in every way possible. But I think when we look at the pronouncements, and I'm surprised at how many people are taking the NSA at their word that they have stopped Dragnet surveillance. Are you kidding me? They say, oh, we haven't used that for at least 6 months. This is software that, as William Binney and Thomas Drake, who they harassed, they tried to send Thomas Drake to jail. But we talk about the shameful way that they manufactured evidence to try to send him to jail. And the fact that they got away with this, that nothing happened, that James Clapper committed perjury to the Congress, to the Senate committee, and they let 5 years pass, never did anything to it. But the statute of limitations expired last year. Just a couple of weeks later, we had the Snowden leaks, showed that he was a complete liar. And you're going to allow that to continue? You're going to allow them to get away with what they did to William Binney, what they tried to do to Thomas Drake and others, and not expect that they're going to be emboldened? That it's going to get worse, that they're going to do that same type of thing to President Trump, to people like Roger Stone. They're going to manufacture crimes. They're going to lie. They're going to hold people to imaginary standards that only exist for some people, don't exist for Hillary Clinton and others. But even beyond the double standard, manufacturing crimes. I mean, that's what they did to Thomas Drake. They said, oh, look, we found that you've got documents here in your house after they raided him. And they were like, you know, security is your friend. It's like a something that orientation session type of document that you get when you first get hired. It wasn't classified. They classified it after the fact and then said, now you've got classified information in your possession. Well, we sent a sailor to jail for having a picture of his bunk or whatever. Didn't send Hillary Clinton to jail. They will do anything if they hold you as their enemy. But at the same time, we got these people telling us, a neuroscience scientist is telling us, we're going to make it so the people are incredibly intelligent. Oh, really? Oh, you're going to have a wireless jack in your head so that you can be connected to the internet all the time and to Wikipedia. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're even more misinformed than ever. You may have access to information, but it's going to be total lies. And that is the whole point. That's what these people have been working on for a long time. So we're going to talk about the different ways this has manifested itself. We got a mayor in South Carolina who thinks she was a victim of a hate crime. Well, she should be believed, right? Except it was pollen on her car when they did the test. Yeah, they've been working on setting up the internet. They've been working on mind control for a long time. They're just trying to do it wirelessly because, you know, it's a, kind of a giveaway even to the idiocracy that we have in this country right now. When you got the big probes sticking out of your head or your neck like Frankenstein, you're like, what's this? I didn't have this before. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, March 6, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Joining us later in the show will be Paul Joseph Watson. He'll be live here in studio. We're going to talk about what's going on in England. Brexit versus Bankit. I mean, banks are lined up against it. Macron is coming up for an election, and with this yellow vest situation that's happening all the time, he's trying to deflect criticism away from him. Yet his problems in France are not because of Brexit, but he wants people to think that. And so he's trying to shift the blame to the UK, to Brexit, even as he's imposing more taxes, not on the highway, but on the information highway. Which brings us to another topic that we're going to talk today. Later, I want to talk about what's going on with 5G. We need to understand how rapidly they're rolling this out, and we need to understand what it's really about. All of this consternation about Huawei by the federal government is legit. I mean, this is the Chinese communists. They have put people in universities to steal military secrets, research, and so forth. But, and you know, when we get to 5G, if Huawei's got equipment in that, they're going to use that to filter everything out of this country. What they will do is the Chinese government, that is so concerned about watching their citizens in their country so that they can make sure that they control any dissidents there, they don't really care about the average citizen here in America. No, the U.S. government does. The U.S. government wants to have people who are friendly to them using the 5G services so they can impose that same kind of dragnet surveillance on all of us that the Chinese are doing. They're going to have so much data that they won't be restricted on anything. And, of course, they will throw us a few little trinkets. Will we sell our freedom, our liberty, our way of life, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights? Will we sell that for the ability to be able to drive around in a self-driving car? Or to be able to download an HD movie in 1 second? If we do, history will laugh at us like the Indians who sold Manhattan for a plastic bracelet. Of course, it wasn't plastic at the time. They didn't have plastic, but it might as well have been. It was just as worthless as that. And folks, if we sell our heritage for this, we will become the Esaus of the future. So just to underscore how stupid they think we are, I want to play a clip for you. This has been out for a couple of days. It came out over the weekend, but we haven't played it on the show yet. Video four, guys. We got a neuroscientist talking about how they are going to make us smart. His name is Cerf, and you'll be able to surf the internet. He believes that in as little as 5 years, people may be enhancing their minds via technology. Make it so that it has an internet connection, and it goes to Wikipedia. And when I think this particular thought, it gives me the answer. Well, no, I don't think it gives you necessarily the answer. It may give you information. It may give you misinformation. You know, what we don't need is more information. We need wisdom, don't we? Buy the truth, do not sell it. By wisdom, instruction, understanding. Those words of wisdom are still true. Let's play this idiot's idea of what smartness is. Here he is, video four.
What if you could make money or type something just by thinking about it? Sounds like sci-fi, but it may be close to reality. CBS2 Morning Insider Lauren Victory shows us a Chicago connection.
Neuroscience and business.
He's got lots of matter all over his home and the not-so-distant future on his mind.
Will they be humans?
In as little as 5 years, super smart people could be walking down the street. Men and women who've paid to increase their intelligence. Neuroscientist Moran Cerf makes that prediction because he's working on a smart chip for the brain.
Make it so that it has an internet connection and goes to Wikipedia. And when I think this particular thought, it gives me the answer.
The Northwestern University business professor is collaborating with Silicon Valley bigwigs he'd rather not name.
So what if you could type directly from your brain.
We know Facebook is chipping away at this. Tesla founder Elon Musk is too.
Everyone is spending a lot of time right now on trying to find ways to get things into the brain without drilling a hole in your skull. Can you eat something that will actually get to your brain? Can you eat things in parts that will assemble inside your head?
Mind-blowing. But relationships could be on the line.
This is no longer a science problem. This is a social problem.
Cerf worries about creating intelligence gaps in our society. That's on top of gender, racial, and financial inequalities.
They can make money by just thinking about the right investments, and we cannot. So they're going to get richer, they're going to get healthier, they're going to live longer.
The IQ of an intelligent ape is about 70. The average human, 100. A genius, around 140. People with smart chips, 200. Will they even
want to interact with us? And then once you get on the internet, you get back to the chimpanzee level.
Look at this cute human, Stephen Hawking. He can do differential equations in his mind just like a little baby with, 160 IQ points. It's amazing. It's so cute. Now let's put it back in a cage and give it bananas.
Time will tell, or will our minds? Lauren Victory, CBS 2 News.
Okay, two things that he had to say there that are really true. Everyone is spending a lot of time right now trying to find ways to get into the brain without drilling a hole in your skull. Hey, folks, newsflash. We've been telling you forever. This has been the focus of DARPA. It has been the focus of the CIA for 70 years. They've been working at ways to control your mind. It's just a little bit of a problem when they, have the electrodes still sticking out. It's a bit of a clue, even for dumbed down Americans, that something is going on here when you look in the mirror. So they're working for ways to do this wirelessly. Wirelessly. Like 5G or something, right? Not that 5G is going to be mind control. 5G will be a cancer injection into the population. They've only done one study on animals, and they found that it increased tumors. But, of course, only more concentrated tumors in males. So that's not a problem because we don't like males anymore. Let's get rid of the males. I want to know the big mystery to me in all of that, because it isn't a mystery that electromagnetic radiation increases the risk of cancer and the occurrence of cancer. As I've said many times, we've had studies going back more than a decade. As a matter of fact, the 14-year study for what they did in the Polish military, they had about 150,000 people a year. I'm going from memory now, but I've read the stats before. They did it for 14 years, and it was a massive study. Well over 100,000. It was, I think, 150,000 approximately that they did for 14 years. And they found that some types of cancer increased by a factor of 3. Some by a factor of 4, some by a factor of 8. And then we had other studies that were done in other countries, in Austria, in Israel, in Germany. And we've had some cases that people tried to bring to court here in America where they saw the same types of increase by a factor of 300 or 400%. When people were close to antennas. Everybody's going to be close to antennas with 5G. Oh, yes, it will be lower power, but it will be a higher frequency. It is qualitatively different. You will not be able to escape it, and you will be in close proximity even though it is lower power. We got very low power on our phones, don't we? And yet we have seen brain tumors coming there. They put in the little pamphlets there. We're inoculating ourselves legally from that. And, of course, the federal government has inoculated these telecommunications companies against people objecting to cell phone towers on the basis of health with the 1996 Telecommunications Act. Same thing they did for the vaccine companies 10 years earlier, 1986. Don't tell me I shouldn't be worried about a technology when they go to the trouble of giving the people who are pushing that technology on us immunity from being sued for the health effects. They know that there are health effects, or they wouldn't bother to go through that, right? That is the way they're going to control us is the way the NSA has been working on controlling us. So you think the NSA has stopped doing that? Maybe you need to be hooked up, not necessarily the internet or Wikipedia, but to a real source of information. Maybe you need to get wisdom. We'll be right back. continue our stupid news today. News about the stupid, and we can't really do that without covering Alexandria in Wonderland. Yes, Occasional Cortex was caught with her hand in the cookie jar. She and her chief of staff, as I pointed out yesterday, her chief of staff, whose name shall remain silent. I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. I just call him S.C. Saikat Chakrabarty. That's my best guess. But AOC and S.C. were flagged by the FEC because they created a PAC. In other words, they're crooks, folks. Let me just explain this to you. As we've had multiple lawyers, multiple former FEC commissioners explain, Brad Smith, former FEC commissioner, said massive reporting violations, probably at least some illegal contribution violations exceeding the lawful limits. And we're talking about more $1 or $2 million here, $1.8 million before the June 2018 primary. Another former FEC commissioner, Hans von Spakowski, I guess is the way you pronounce his name. We'll just call him HVS. How's that? Pentagon loves acronyms, so let's start using that for names that are hard to pronounce here. Said if the facts are alleged are true and a candidate had control over a PAC, a political action committee, that was working to get that candidate elected. So if the candidate controls the PAC, right, it's a shell game. If the candidate has control over a PAC that was working to get the candidate elected, then the candidate is potentially in very big trouble and may have engaged in multiple violations of federal campaign finance law, including receiving excessive contributions. That's another former FEC commissioner. Here's a election attorney, an FEC attorney, Charles Spies. He said it looks like the campaign and the PAC are under common control, and the PAC was funding campaign staff and activities as an alter ego of the campaign committee, which would be a blatant abuse of PAC rules. But, you know, there's no rules for Occasional Cortex. No problem. You know, the rules don't apply to her. She's a Democrat and a socialist and a darling of the media. And so she goes on to NBC. I'm sorry, Fox News. And she says, there is no violation. End of story, right? I'm the boss. I say so. So shut up. You should just say that, right? So they asked her if she's connected to dark money. She said, no. We'll see about that. Now, she has admitted that she was wrong about kicking out Amazon. She doesn't realize that the hallmark, this is what I said, the only thing that I ever agreed with her on, she's now backtracked on. Yeah, don't give Amazon incentives to go to New York. This is socialism, crony capitalism, fascism, whatever you want to call it. It's all those things, writ large. And I guess somebody finally explained to her, no. As socialists, we get to pick the winners and the losers. And we should be picking them. You should be on the side of Amazon. They've got lots of money. Let's give them more. Let's make the small businesses and the individuals in New York City subsidize the richest man on earth. That's the way things work under socialism or fascism, whatever. You pick your label, okay? That works the same way. And so now she's backpedaled on that. She regrets costing 25,000 jobs in New York City. Let me tell you what costs 25,000 jobs. Taxes. The high cost of government that is handing out all this free money to the people who are friends of politicians, patrons of politicians. See, she's starting to understand how the system works. So now it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Jeff Bezos. I'm just realizing now how the system works. Come back. We will shower you with cash. Please come back to New York. Well, it's one of the reasons why her mom had to leave. She had to leave because of excessively high taxes. AOC's mother is saying, well, I'm going to Florida, not going to Disney World, going to Florida. I lived in New York area for most of my life, but I started being unable to afford it. Well, yeah, because of people like your daughter who think that they can spend money and there's never any bill that comes due for that. The Green New Deal that she's putting out there is going to cost every American, not just New Yorkers, who are foolish enough to vote for people like her, people like de Blasio, people like Cuomo. But every American, if they were put that together, would have about the equivalent of $65,000 as a bill. We got extra $65,000 sitting around so the government can give you free stuff. They have to take everything you got before they can give you everything that you think you want. $65,000 for everything that you want for free, forever, right? No. Actually, the government has very sticky fingers. A lot of that money that you send to them never comes back. It goes to pay for $30,000 in Uber and Lyft rides instead of riding the subway that you'll be riding. It goes for $300,000 in private jet flights that other socialist, Bernie Sanders, spent in just 1 month of campaigning. It goes to the people like Hugo Chavez and Maduro and their kids who have billion-dollar trust funds in Europe. A lot of that doesn't come back to you. A lot of it goes to very well-paid bureaucrats in the system who get six-figure salaries, multiple six-figure salaries. And that multiplied under Obama. So you're not going to be getting a lot of that back. The government filters a lot of that back. Some of it they will hand back to you, like children on an allowance. And if you're foolish enough to go for this, you should be treated like children on allowance. Her mother said, I was paying $10,000 a year in real estate taxes up north. I'm paying $600 a year in Florida. It's stress-free down here, she said. And guess what? You know, she's paying, that's real estate taxes. Florida doesn't have an income tax. So she's paying $600 a year versus $10,000 a year in New York. And she doesn't have an income tax in Florida because they weren't foolish enough to vote for socialists like her daughter. She is going to go to Eustis, Florida, a small town, suburbs of Orlando. Said we had difficulty making ends meet. I was skipping mortgage payments, and we almost lost the house twice. You know, taxes are so high. And then she says her daughter wasn't raised to be a socialist. I guess she just, we know that, because at one point in time, she was giving seminars to people who thought she knew something about being an entrepreneur. But then she became an enterprising politician and thought that socialism was the ticket. As a matter of fact, it was her chief of staff, SC, probably who came up with that idea. the brains behind the operation, except he forgot to read the FEC rules. She said she wasn't raised to be a socialist. That's not how Puerto Ricans are. She's a democratic socialist. Ah, that's very different, she said. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's just a label. Democrats have always been socialists. They're just proud of it now. The mother of two said that her new Trump-supporting Florida neighbors, and that's the reason they have low taxes. People who vote for President Trump know how this works. They understand life, unlike the people coming from Brooklyn and Queens and the socialists and the Puerto Ricans who vote for these socialists. She says, they don't know that I'm the mother of AOC. Don't tell them. Shh. We'll be right back.
Move me on to any black square.
It's your move. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, let's continue with the stupid news. You know, Queens doesn't have a monopoly on stupid politicians, and we don't send all of our stupid politicians to Washington, believe it or not. We do have some at the local level. This one in particular, the mayor of a small South Carolina town called Lamar. The mayor is Darnell Byrd McPherson. And she believed that she was a victim of a hate crime. She found this yellow sticky substance all over her car. Call Bob Mueller. He'll be right on it right away. He's the go-to guy, you know, to investigate everything, right? Terror attacks, everything. So, yeah, just call Bob Mueller about that. No, actually, it turned out, she said she was grateful that the alleged culprits didn't take our lives. And she hoped that they would be identified and prosecuted. Yeah, it's probably some Trump supporter that did that, right? All that yellow stuff on her car. Well, it turns out that it was pollen. She claimed that her husband's soft top 1998 Buick Roadmaster had been sprayed with a substance which got in all the grooves of his gray sedan. Got in the grooves. Newsweek reported that she had returned to her home and said her husband went out to the car to get some things out of the garage, and he says, "Somebody's painted your car." First, they thought it was vandalism. Then they thought it was a hate crime. Maybe it was a terror attack. You know, she started, her eyes started getting watery. Her sinuses started stopping up. It happens in the Carolinas this time of year. I lived in North Carolina many decades. This time of year, it's not uncommon to see as the pollen is hitting just a, if you got a lot of wind, I mean, it's just a yellow fog coming out of the trees. But she didn't know it was pollen. Where'd she come from? Queens? I don't know where this woman is coming from. But, you know, quite frankly, folks, there is a solution to this. Send her some pollen block. That's right, pollen block. It's the only thing. We suffered from this kind of stuff in North Carolina. My wife has tried everything, all kinds of over-the-counter drugs, some that you had to get specially prescribed. She's tried neti pots. Nothing worked until she tried pollen block. It's like, this is fantastic. What is this? She looked at it. One ingredient, quail eggs. It's like, oh, well, you know, if you'd shown that to her and said, this is going to solve your problem. Oh, no, it's just a natural ingredient. Now, I need something that's got a name that I can't pronounce. That's something that, pharmaceutical company spent billions of dollars to create. No, actually, it works great. Works great. Works for the pollen here in Texas as well. So help her with that. She does need help. She thought she was under terrorist attack. While we're talking about pollen block, let's talk about some of the other specials we've got at InfoWarsStore.com. We have DNA Force Plus that is back. We ran out of stock. You can get it right now for 33% off. Get it before it runs out. And get it before your telomeres run out as well. You know, telomeres are those little caps on the end of your DNA strands. They're kind of like a biological clock that is ticking, and it is constantly shrinking. Maybe a better analogy would be one of these hourglasses. As the sands of time, so are the days of our life. Well, no, it's not actually a sand hourglass like from a soap opera. It is the telomeres that are gradually shrinking. Well, the PQQ can protect your telomeres, and because once those end caps disappear, your DNA strands start to unravel, and you start to have all kinds of things happen to you. They've been able to observe this in different population groups. I said, well, you know, these people are living on average 10 years longer. Oh, well, I see that they've got telomeres that are 10% longer, whatever, than the general population. It's a real thing, and you can get some real help with that. DNA Force Plus now for 33% off. Get it before your biological clock runs out, before the supply runs out, and you have to wait for it again. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine is now coming back, and it is available for pre-order at InfoWarsStore.com, and we have 50% off Alpha Power and Bod-Ease. Bod-Ease, again, turmeric and other natural enhancers of that natural anti-inflammatory to help you with joint pain, just to help you with inflammation in general. That's why we call it Bod-Ease. So take a look at those at InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off. We really do appreciate your support. That's what keeps us going here. All right, let's talk about the ISIS bride. I've mentioned before that this is a great test case for President Trump to bring back the whole topic of anchor babies. Bring it back, even though it's not election time. This is this is something that needs to be fixed, because this is a woman who, as everybody says, well, she's the American ISIS bride. She's not American. Pompeo was right about that. She's not an American citizen. She was born in America. Her parents, her father, she was here because her father was a foreign ambassador. And if we can't look at the explicit language and text of the 14th Amendment, which specifically excludes that, and I think that the reason they put that in, certainly if you look at the debates, the discussions, the context of that at the time, they put that in there because they understood that they did not want to convey citizenship to people who were legitimately visiting here. Legitimately visiting here. Not criminally trespassing foreign citizens who then have a baby here. I mean, that's what we've come to accept as anchor babies. But even somebody who is legitimately visiting here, their children do not become citizens. The purpose of the 14th Amendment was not to create anchor babies. It was to clarify the status of newly freed slaves and to say that because they are under the jurisdiction of the American government and have been, and their parents have been under the jurisdiction of the American government, they are American citizens. The people who criminally trespass into our country from another country, who are foreign citizens, are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And here's a woman whose father was an ambassador. Now he says, oh, I stopped being ambassador just before she was born. Okay, right, right. And then she goes on and Twitter and tells people to do drive-by shootings of Americans, rent trucks and drive over Americans, spill their blood, do it on Memorial Day or on Veterans Day. And now she says, well, I was just going through a phase. You know, I don't know about you, but I never went through a phase when I called on people to spill the blood of Americans on holidays, rent trucks, do drive-by shootings. I never went through a phase like that. And if she went through a phase like that, what other phases is she going to go through in the future? Let's play a little bit of that interview that she had on NBC.
A lot of people are going to find that hard to believe after some of the tweets that you put out.
I know that, but it was an ideology that really was just a phase.
There's one tweet in particular where you talk about calling on Americans to do drive-by shootings, to rent a truck and drive over people, spilling their blood, and you say Memorial Day, Veterans Day, go out and do it.
Again, my lawyer told me not to speak about these things.
Yeah, my lawyer told me not to talk about these things. I don't know. You buying that? I'm not buying that. I'm not buying James Clapper either. Yeah, I think his lawyer told him, my lawyer told me not to talk about these things. Except he doesn't say it with an accent, right? He's out there now saying, I didn't lie to Congress about NSA spying. I simply didn't understand the question. Well, James Clapper, if you're that damn stupid, you shouldn't be running our intelligence agencies. Maybe that's why we're losing all these wars in Afghanistan and elsewhere. We got our intelligence agency that can't understand a straightforward question that is asked to him repeatedly. Now, we know exactly what you are, James Clapper. You are a liar and you are a criminal and you belong in jail, even though the Congress gave you a pass. The same Congress that passed the Patriot Act, that wanted this kind of conduct. When we come back, we're going to do a flashback for James Clapper, and then we're going to tell you how the information highway has really become the Huawei to hell, and how it will become the Huawei to hell with 5G. It's exactly what the NSA and James Clapper and Michael Hayden have always dreamed of. Are we stupid enough to go there? Stay with us. We'll find out when we come back. Stay with us. Let's take a look at James Clapper. Are you smart enough to spot the lie? Remember, it was getting close to 6 years ago now. It was 2013. Unfortunately for James Clapper, he didn't know that Ed Snowden was about to drop the biggest expose of unconstitutional actions by the intelligence services they would ever seen. And so he lied about, and we called him on it. We knew that he was lying. I mean, everybody knew this. Why? How did we know this? Well, right after they had passed the Patriot Act, you had the real patriots in the NSA. You had people like William Binney, who had spent decades as the global technical head of the NSA, observing East Germany, and he goes, I know how this plays out. I know how this plays out. We're not going to allow them to do warrantless searches of everybody, dragnet searches. They had created internally within the NSA software that would allow them to do what they needed to do without dragnet surveillance. to anonymize information and so forth. But instead, there was a contract out there that people who were big business friends of people inside the NSA, people inside the government, who wanted to make billions of dollars, they went with that. And that was their Dragnet surveillance program. And so we knew about this. There were at least four whistleblowers from the NSA. William Binney, elderly man, we've had him on multiple times. A great American is the documentary about him. And that's, I can't say enough about William Binney. He is a great man of integrity and a great American. So are the others, like Thomas Drake. They tried to put Thomas Drake, they charge him multiple felonies that were manufactured felonies, like the kind of stuff you see against Roger Stone, other people that are being persecuted by these crooks in our so-called law enforcement organization, the corrupt Department of Justice, the corrupt FBI, the corrupt NSA, the corrupt CIA. But these same people first went against the patriotic NSA, people who said, we're not going to be a part of this. They went to Congress. Congress didn't want to hear it. And so it continued. And Ed Snowden even said, because of what they did to these guys, that's why I released the information the way that I did. That's why Ed Snowden didn't go to Congress, because he knew that Congress was corrupt. Congress didn't care about this. Congress passed the Patriot Act in violation of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And so let's remember Ron Wyden, when he asked James Clapper. James Clapper said he didn't lie. I simply didn't understand the question. Well, you look at the clip and you think about this. You form your own opinion. Here's the clip.
Last summer, the NSA director was at a conference, and he was asked a question about the NSA surveillance of Americans. He replied, and I quote here, "The story that we have millions or hundreds of millions of dossiers on people is completely false." The reason I'm asking the question is, having served on the committee now for a dozen years, I don't really know what a dossier is in this context. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No,
sir. Is that clear?
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
All right.
Does it collect any kind of data at all? No, sir. No, sir. Well, possibly might mistakenly collect some information, but we don't do it on purpose. No, they do it on purpose, and that's why William Binney and Thomas Drake and others went to the Congress and said they're collecting it on purpose. Now, I want you to hear Michael Hayden, who goes to Washington and Lee. I've covered this. Not too many people saw this. It's a long speech that he made at Washington and Lee, and I did a long analysis of this at one point in time, but I want to just pull out this one section here. Michael Hayden at Washington and Lee, here's what he had to say, my analysis of it, when he was making excuses for James Clapper. Michael Lee, by the way, former head of the NSA, former head of the CIA as well. Here's what he told the law students at Washington and Lee.
Let's listen to what he said about Section 215.
A lot of commentary was made about Jim Clapper and the question from Ron Wyden on that, you know, about mass bulk collection and so on. Jim's answer was horrible. All right? And Jim's an honest guy. He just hosed it horribly.
Yeah, he lied. Let's continue. He hosed it because he flat out lied under oath. But of course, if you're part of the intelligence community, you won't go to jail for lying under oath.
Jim's answer was not as bad as Ron Wyden's question.
Oh, it's the question that's a problem.
I don't really...
Yeah, he goes on to say that shame on Ron Wyden for asking that question. Shame on you. Shame on you. You knew the answer to that. Ron Wyden and his staff and all of the senators there and their staff, they knew what the NSA was doing. That's what Michael Hayden goes on to say. I wish we had that clip, but he goes on to say, they all knew about that. Shame on him for putting that out there because he put him in a perjury trap. Now, isn't that interesting? Because it's kind of just the opposite of what we see Michael Hayden and James Clapper and John Brennan and all these criminals saying about President Trump and inviting about President Trump and his staff and people who work for him. Let's put them in a situation and let's ask them questions about things that are immaterial and irrelevant. And if they give us the wrong answer, we will charge them with perjury. And that's exactly what they're doing. But the question that Ron Wyden gave him was not immaterial. It was not irrelevant. It was about his illegal and constitutional actions. It was right on point. And he lied about it, and he got away. But now they put people on the witness stand, and they ask them irrelevant questions and play this perjury trap with people. Isn't that interesting? How corrupt our government is. How corrupt this double standard is. Makes me want to throw up. If you really want to get sick, take a look at the Patriot Act, our Reichstag fire, that is based on the Reichstag fire of the 9/11 that we had. And I'm surprised when I look at the news about this. All the news about, well, it looks like the NSA is going to end that phone surveillance program that was exposed by Snowden. And this is not the first time we've been fed this fake information. They did this a year or two ago as well. And that's the headline from the Wall Street Journal. Of course, you can believe the Wall Street Journal. And AP quotes an aide at the NSA, an aide to Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who says this guy, who is an aide to Kevin McCarthy, is a specialist in national security. He didn't go into detail about why the program was halted, but he mentioned problems with the way the information was collected. Yeah, right. 18 years after the NSA whistleblowers mentioned problems, you let this go. 5-6 years after Snowden showed us how this is being abused, now you think that there are problems with it? And he tells us, well, it hasn't been used in the last 6 months. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the NSA would be using software that was 6 years old or older? Of course not. Of course not. They probably have revved this stuff up and then they say, oh, well, we haven't used that software. The USBN bulk data collection reports AP covering up for the NSA. The AP says the U.S. began bulk data collection of the time, length, and participants, but not the content of phone calls and other data, right? This is why Michael Hayden has gone on, that liar, scumbag, snake in the grass, has gone on so many times saying, we aren't listening to your phone conversations. We're not reading your emails. We're just collecting metadata. Yes, James Clapper has made a career out of collecting metadata. James Clapper has addressed the massive conventions of geospatial intelligence that they have. I mean, we're talking about thousands of people, 4,000 to 5,000 people a year go to these geospatial intelligence conventions where they are looking at your metadata. They want to analyze and categorize you with your activity, activity-based intelligence, human domain analytics, anticipatory intelligence. It is far more powerful than if they were to sit there like the old Stasi and eavesdrop on people. They're not doing that. They're doing it in a much more sophisticated way. And I find it strange that they lie about this. You know, the geospatial intelligence conferences that happen every year get less attention. They've never been mentioned. They get less attention than the Bilderberg conferences used to get. Less attention than that. Nobody talks about it. And, of course, it says right here, the NSA, the White House and the NSA declined comment. That's the saddest thing, that the White House has declined comment on this criminal action.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
.215 is such a safe haven. .215 is legislated by Congress. I was doing metadata collection under the president's raw Article 2 authorities from October 7th, 2001 forward.
Yeah, that's great. Of course, we, you know, if the Congress passes a law, we don't care what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights have to say, right? We don't care about its effect on your privacy, your liberty. Doesn't matter. If the Congress says so, We just do whatever they say. So now we've got Clapper out there saying, I didn't lie. I just simply didn't understand the question. He said the original thought behind this and this program was to put in place, was put in place as a direct result of 9/11. And the point was to be able to track quickly a foreign communicant talking to somebody in this country who may have been plotting a terrorist plot and was put in place by the Bush administration for that reason. Yeah, it's called the Patriot Act. And as the patriotic people in intelligence exposed that as an unconstitutional, illegal violation, and they said it's not even necessary to do that. We've already created an internal program. These people authorize this because they want to violate the Constitution and they want to pay off their corporate sponsors in the military-industrial complex. It's a double win for them. I'm just amazed when I look at this. And this is the reason I'm going back and revisiting this. Because you need to understand this. You need to understand how this fits into 5G. And the long-term plans of these people to spy on us with everything and everything that we do. And they're rolling this out in spades now. And I'm amazed to see people that I typically trust on this issue, people like Glenn Greenwald, the Free Thought Project, buying this nonsense, that they've stopped. They haven't stopped. They're going to be accelerating this with 5G. This is why they're so concerned about Huawei. They don't want the Chinese, the American government doesn't want the Chinese spying on American government officials and getting their government secrets. But the American government is going to spy on you. And they're going to use the same types of social credit, population control tactics that the Chinese are using on their citizens right now. It isn't that they're going to respect our privacy. You think they respect any of our privacy? You think they respect the law, the Bill of Rights, our liberties? They don't respect that. They don't respect our health. It's a soft kill program as well. It's a massive human experimentation, and they don't care. Whether they know or not, they don't care what the health effects are. Because their interest is in making sure that their slaves don't get out of line, just like the communist Chinese government. And when you look at this, and again, the headlines, Glenn Greenwald says, well, it looks like the massive domestic spying program, which James Clapper lied about and Obama insisted was vital to national security, has been shut down. No, that's fake news. They've just upgraded it. I mean, that was like 2G technology. They're going for 5G technology now. Wall Street Journal, NSA weighs ending the phone surveillance system. In other words, they're considering it. Or the Free Thought Project, NSA quietly shuts down. They haven't shut down anything. I mean, this is almost like get smart. Remember Maxwell Smart? Would you believe we've shut it down? No. Would you believe that we're considering shutting it down? No, I wouldn't believe that either. They are both control and chaos. And they want to bring chaos to us. They will control us in the meantime. Well, let's understand, really, maybe, you know, one of the reasons that they're talking like this is because they may not even need to have this kind of program. With social media, they may be able to scrape everything that they need off of social media. Because it's really the metadata. It's really the geospatial intelligence that is so dangerous. That's why James Clapper focused his career on that thing. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Would you believe the NSA has moved on? No, I wouldn't believe that. I wouldn't believe they're even considering it. It's kind of like saying, you all need to get smart, right? Get Maxwell Smart to explain this to us. That's what these guys look like to me when I watch these spies, these cloak and dagger spies. You ought to take what they have to say with as much credulity as you would Maxwell Smart, especially when Chief is telling us that. I guess that'd be Michael Hayden. He's Chief, right? No, it's kind of like saying, that Apple has abandoned the iPhone because they're no longer selling the iPhone 5. They're now selling the iPhone 8 or the iPhone X or whatever it is that they're selling. I don't care what Apple is selling. But, you know, to say that they're no longer doing the iPhone. Yeah, they're not doing the iPhone because they're not doing iPhone 5. That's right. Maybe they've realized that they can get everything that they need about you, all the metadata. The metadata is they can track where you are, who you know, who you talk to. That is more important than what you say. They use that to predict your behavior. Law enforcement is using it. The military is using it. The PRISM program that was created by Alex Karp's company, Palantir, uses that to anticipate what you're going to do. Now, there's even an article, I think it was on Drudge, saying they're using surveillance cameras and AI to anticipate the people that are going to shoplift. You know, pre-crime is coming everywhere, right? And the key part of it for people on the internet is geospatial intelligence. But maybe they can get all of that metadata, all of those connections by social media, right? Maybe it's, you know, that's why they, it's actually easier for us to get that because the people put all the stuff up there for us. Just as you give Facebook and all these other big brother social media companies your phone number, for example. Now, this article from Breitbart today, for years, social media Big Brother has been pestering its users to secure their account with two-factor authentication by prompting them to enter their phone number so they could get a text with a security code to log in for the first time. And this was reported by Fast Company on Sunday. Fast Company went on to say, but this being Facebook, they're just not going to do something that's only good for the user, are they? Facebook now allows anyone to look up a user by their phone number. The same phone number that was supposed to be for security purposes only. And it won't let users opt out of the feature, which creates a security risk for the user. So by default, it uses that phone number that you gave them for two-factor authentication to actually, and that was going to be for your protection and your security. They actually use that to undermine your protection and your security. That's the way Facebook rolls. That's the way the government rolls. That's why the government funded Facebook to get them started. Now Facebook is going back and returning a lot of this money to the Atlantic Council and others who kicked in this money for them, paying them dividends, not only cash, but also in intelligence and monetizing this as well. I said the most you can do with this, if you know about it, is you can go into your settings and you can say, only show that to my friends, but you can't hide it entirely. Presumably. We'll see if they are monetizing that or not. You know, when everybody was talking over the weekend about the expose of this guy who owns the New England Patriots football team, you know, being caught in a spa prostitution area, I was kind of like, I don't really care. I mean, that's kind of in the weeds of somebody's personal life. But I think it's interesting that this is a program called Sneak and Peek. Let's sneak and peek into the massage parlors and see what we can peek on, right? And again, it's another example of how they don't respect any search warrant requirements. As Reason Magazine points out, a central component of the recent investigation into this Chinese massage parlor sex was a secret installation of hidden cameras at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida. Permission for such surveillance stems from a provision of the Patriot Act. That's right. They create a Reichstag fire, then they pass the Patriot Act in violation of everything that the Constitution stands for, in violation of every aspect of the Bill of Rights, and it's okay because it's such a safe harbor, as Michael Hayden says. Oh, I got such a safe harbor. I got that Section 215 of the Patriot Act, and so on. It was passed with promises only to use that power against possible terrorists. But then, of course, they use dragnet surveillance against all of us, and then they go after powerful people like him in order to blackmail them, right? That's the whole point. The old J. Edgar Hoover tactic. You know, it was Truman who said, we don't want a secret police here. in the United States, but the FBI is trending that way. Talking about how he's got blackmail files on everybody. Nixon was talking about it as well. But it was interesting that Truman created the NSA with an executive order. I almost feel like, what did they have on him? Did he think naively that by creating the NSA, he was going to have some kind of a counter to Hoover's out-of-control FBI? Spy versus spy or something? The bottom line is that everybody talking about President Trump trying to defend this border against a massive wave of immigration that is far greater than anything that we saw under Obama. That's some other stuff that I've got today. I don't know if I'll get to it or not. But everybody is freaking out about that. You got Rand Paul freaking out about that. Rand Paul, why don't you freak out about the fact that the freaking NSA was created with an executive order? Shut that down. Unbelievable that the NSA was created. When you think that all this stuff is new, folks? We had the Frank Church committee hearings where they exposed all the stuff. And again, they focused on all the assassination attempts of Castro and so forth and the heart attack guns that they had. But that was all created because they were spying illegally on the American public. So James Clapper says, we weren't doing that. I'm just confused. And Michael Hayden says, shame on Ron Wyden for exposing it. He knew that they were doing it. Well, you know, Frank Church knew they were doing it as well. That's why we had those hearings back in the 1970s. And in the House, they had the Pike Committee hearings. You know, the Senate was talking to the CIA. Pike, with the House, pulled in the NSA. And he said, I want to see your charter where you were created. And the director of the NSA said, not going to show it to you. Not going to show it to you. You're nothing but the Congress, the elected representative of the people. I don't answer to you or anybody else. That was the arrogance. They were worse even than the FBI or the CIA. Maybe he didn't want to get offed like they did Colby later on. get George H.W. Bush to rebuild that the CIA after some of their tactics were exposed. But they were doing that as soon as they were created, back in the 50s, back in the 60s. I mean, these are people who are working with Nazi scientists, brought them over with Operation Paperclip. They had absolutely no ethics, no morals. They didn't care about anything. And they're going to be experimenting on you and your family with 5G. They're going to be spying on you like the East German Stasi. That's what 5G is about. And so this is just a small microcosm of this, what they did to these guys in this the Orchids of Asia massage parlor. They caught the New England Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, dozens of other men. They now face misdemeanor charges. They'll do this for misdemeanor charges. Now, they're also coming after the workers and others, accusing them of prostitution and racketeering. But they get all of this because of the Patriot Act. And we were told this is going to stop patriotism. You know, of these sneak and peek warrants, how many of the 11,000 sneak and peek warrants issued in 2013 were for terrorism? Only 50. 50 out of 11,000. That's a 0.5%. 0.5%. You know how many were about drug investigations? 85%. And they said exactly what privacy advocates argued in 2001 is happening now. Sneak and peek warrants are not just being used in exceptional circumstances. They are everyday investigative tools. And they are sneaking and peeking. Sneaking? Who's sneaking? Says Smeagol. They are sneaking around and peeking on you and your phone and your computer. Welcome back. You know, as we're talking about the sneak and peek technology, where they caught Robert Kraft. To me, that's the most interesting part of this story. Is, you know, not that this guy was paying for hookers, but that the way the law enforcement does this warrantlessly and excuses it with the Patriot Act, of course. University of Miami law professor Celeste Higgins, who spent 25 years as a lawyer in Southern Florida, said putting devices into locations without search warrants is really the ultimate invasion. And yet that is essentially what the NSA has been doing to all of our phones, all of our computers. It's sneak and peek. And they want to find things that they can blackmail people on. It's creating crimes. It's like it's no problem for them if they go to Congress and you got the head of an intelligence agency who's been involved in collecting metadata on everybody. And then he lies to Congress, he lies to the American public about that very thing. No, we're not going to go after him for perjury, but we will go after other people who are our political enemies. We'll ask them, what color shirt did you wear on such and such a date? And if they give us the wrong answer, then we'll get them for lying to Congress and perjury, and we'll try to send them to jail. We'll put them in solitary confinement. We'll construct the crime. Bring me the man, I'll find the crime. This is the Stalinesque world that we live in, the United Stasi of America, and they are united in Washington. It's one of the reasons why the Huawei chairman at this recent mobile world conference in Barcelona, that's where the global telecom industry goes, he put up a slide. He had a picture of Ed Snowden with the Constitution behind him, we the people, and he's making fun of the American government's concern about Huawei, because he knows that they're spying on everybody. And he knows that they want to be the ones who are the spies. They just don't want China spying on us. But they are not going to give us privacy. Not the people like Michael Hayden, not the people like James Clapper, not the institutions like the NSA, the FBI, the CIA. These are the people, again, who were spying on us back in the 50s and 60s. That's why we had the Pike Committee hearings, the Church Committee hearings back in the 70s. They were doing it long before all this stuff was exposed by Ed Snowden. But he puts up and he says, prism on the wall. Who's the most trustworthy of them all? Said Ping, the Huawei CEO. Yeah, it's all about that. And why are we moving forward with 5G in the first place? Oh, well, it's because we want to have this smart cities and driverless cars and video streaming and being able to download movies in a second. All of the Internet of Things. And this brings us back to where we started in the broadcast. We played that clip from that idiot saying, we're going to make you really smart. We're going to implant electronic devices in your head. And then you can wirelessly connect to the Internet all the time. And you can go to Wikipedia and you always have the right answer, right? Wikipedia, where you would know nothing. You'd have absolutely no information if you weren't misinformed. Look, their definition of smart is the fact that you are connected to the Internet, connected to the cloud. That's their definition of a smart device, that it is connected to the cloud, to the Internet. And so that is their definition of smart people as well. We're all going to get so smart. No, I think when we connect to the cloud all the time, if we're foolish enough to go with the answers that they give us because they're in the process of purging anything that's not part of their narrative, if we're stupid enough to do that, we're not going to be smart. We're going to be cloudy. The future forecast is that we're going to have cloudy minds. By definition, you're going to be as smart as that washing machine or that toaster that is connected to the cloud. You're going to join the Internet of Things, your smart cars, your smart cities, and your stupid people. Dumb enough to let them control us. Dumb enough to let them take the steering wheels out of our hands. To let them take the privacy out of our homes. That is some kind of stupid. To walk right into 1984. But let's talk about the health issues of this as well. As Children's Health Defense pointed out, the public has embraced each new mobile and wireless technology, most of which have never undergone any appropriate safety testing or development of standards. Never a problem. You just show me some, shiny new device that's got bright flashing lights on it, and I can watch movies, and I can listen to MTV and all this other. Oh, well, okay, I'll take that. No need to test it for any health issues. No need to set up any standards. We'll just go with it. No problem whatsoever. It's just a massive human experimentation. We did have one study. We reported when it came out in 2016. Actually, some of the mainstream media surprisingly reported it. LA Times, for example. Is 5G technology dangerous? Early data shows a slight increase in tumors in male rats exposed to cell phone radiation. Again, we don't need to worry about that, right? Because all that's just in rats. Or maybe it's because it's males. Because, you know, all males, human or otherwise, are rats, right? Man, they should be, they're vermin. They should be exterminated. And they may be exterminated. Who knows? We shouldn't even worry about what's going to do the kids, because if we make the men disappear, if we make the men sterile, then we won't have any kids to worry about. See, problem is solved. We don't have to worry about the health effects of cell phone radiation on kids. There's been some studies done about that. They have thinner skulls, and so if they use phones quite a bit, or if they put them in their pocket next to their genitals as they're developing, you know, might have the same kind of effect as going to kindergarten in California. You know, change your sex. Or make you sterile or whatever. But, you know, it's not a problem. We don't need to worry about that. We don't need to do any tests. And we don't need to worry about our privacy either. Just shut up and go into the smart cities that the UN has designed for us, where they will monitor everything that you do. Because you've got all these wonderful things. You've got self-driving cars. You've got augmented reality. Internet of Things, you know, you can't have the self-driving cars without the kind of bandwidth that's going to do that, they say. But, of course, they also can't have the instant biometric identification and instant profiling of every single person on Earth without 5G. If we sell our liberty, our privacy, our health, to be able to download an HD movie in 1 second, we will be worse than Esau, who sold his inheritance for a bowl of porridge. And this is the most pathetic thing I have ever seen in my life. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Steve Malloy. He's an individual who exposed human experimentation by the EPA. You know, isn't the government, aren't they the ones out there looking out for our health? Well, actually, no. Actually, no. And we're going to talk to him about the new EPA director. How does he think that's going to go? Is this going to be a guy that protects our liberty, our independence? Or is he going to be somebody who's with the Washington establishment? Yeah, Steve Malloy caught the EPA experimenting on humans without their informed consent. And even though that's supposed to be illegal under the Nuremberg trial, they were allowed to continue doing it. They sued, and the judge said, no, we're not going to stop the EPA from testing humans without their permission.
Liberty. It's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Steve Malloy in this segment. You'll be joining us. And, of course, you can find Steve at his articles at junkscience.com. Also on Twitter. His handle is Junk Science, and of course, Steve has joined us many times. He was the one who discovered the EPA experimenting on people, exposing them to, I think it's something like 72 times the allowed limit of fine particulate matter, and in an effort to try to get an excuse to raise those standards, expose them to 72 times that. Screening for people who have respiratory issues, heart issues, before they did that. And at the same time, you had the then EPA director, Lisa Jackson, going to Congress and arrange a prearranged dog and pony show with the guy from Massachusetts, who's now a senator. What was his name, Steve? I forget what his name was.
Ed Markey.
That's right, Markey. Yeah, they got this dog and pony show saying, well, you know, this, we're talking about something that's not going to just make people sick, but it's going to kill them. And yet they were exposing people to 72 times the level that they said was harmful. This is the way the EPA was running, and it was Steve who broke that and said, look, they're experimenting on people without their informed consent. I mean, I thought we stopped this with the Nuremberg trials. But I wanted to talk to Steve today about both his book, Scare Pollution. That's a great title. Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA. And then to get his opinion on whether or not the newly confirmed head of the EPA, Wheeler, who took the place of Scott Pruitt, whether or not he is going to fix the EPA or whether it's going to start going in the wrong direction after we had some major improvements under Scott Pruitt. Thank you for joining us, Steve.
Hey, Dave. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
First, tell us a little bit about Wheeler. What do you think Wheeler is going to be in terms of an EPA director?
Well, Andrew Wheeler is a great guy. He's very knowledgeable. I worked with him for a number of years in the when I worked in the coal industry, and you know, he's there to implement the Trump agenda. And I think, like Scott Pruitt before him, he will do a good job.
Okay, good. That's good to know because you know we got a lot of articles from mainstream media freaking out. He formerly worked in the coal industry. And it's like, yeah, you know, folks, that's a damning thing, isn't it, right?
Well, it means he knows something. I mean, you know, Lisa, Gina McCarthy, who was Obama's EPA administrator, Lisa Jackson, the one before that, they didn't know anything. But Andrew does know something because he's got experience with working with, in real business, real people, real companies. And I've worked with him, so he knows about the work I've done. So we're in good shape.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, because, you know, when we talk about coal, for example, I question narratives and I question people's intentions, not just their competence, I kind of wonder if they focused on coal, not because it can't be made clean, because it can be made clean, because I think they're focused on it because we've got more of it than pretty much anybody else on earth. We got more coal than Saudi Arabia has oil. So therefore, if we're going to make America, we're going to take away America's energy independence, and if we're going to make everybody dumbed down, poor, and controlled, then we got to get rid of coal. That's my conspiracy theorist outlook on this.
well, and I think another part of that is, you know, coal was just a political enemy of Obama, and he used the government, the power of the federal government, to destroy it, to kill 50,000 jobs. I think that in some ways you could say what he did was illegal. Because you know, he used the power of the government to destroy a political enemy. There was really no reason to do it. He accomplished nothing for the environment, nothing for public health. All he did was actually made public health worse because by unemploying 50,000 people from high paying jobs, well, what are they going to do? That's going to impact their health and their communities and everything.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, Hillary's out there saying it was Electoral College that cost her the election. I think it was position on taking down the coal industry that had a lot to do with it, along with some other authoritarian dictates that were coming from her. We talked in the past when you'd come on about the glider trucks. How is that going to move forward with the Wheeler administration? Are the wheels going to come off the glider trucks under the Wheeler administration, the EPA?
I'm hoping now that Andrew Wheeler has been confirmed as the permanent EPA administrator that we can continue with rolling back the Obama era rule, which would basically ban glider trucks.
Let's define what glider trucks are for people. We've talked about this in the past, but people may not know.
So every year there are a few thousand trucks that they're either very old or they get into accidents, and their engines can be rebuilt. And so they are. There's one of the largest glider truck companies is Fitzgerald Glider Kits in Tennessee. And what they do is they take used engines, they rebuild them, then they get a new cab, they put it on top, and you have almost a new truck. You've got a remanufactured engine with new seats, and you're good to go. And this is great for small trucking companies and independent truckers because these trucks cost about 25% less than a new truck.
And they're kind of like green, aren't they? Because it's kind of like recycling, okay?
Well, not only that, they are recycling because they use actually less. They take a lot of the metal from the old engines. They get better gas mileage. And then on the other hand, you've got these new trucks, which are, the new truck industry has been working with, Deep State Swamp at EPA to, mandate ever stricter emissions controls and more expensive engines because, they like selling more expensive trucks. These trucks break down, they're more expensive. They're not as, they're actually not as clean. You know, if you're worried about like carbon dioxide, they're not as clean as a glider truck. And I have this thing called Malloy's Law. Malloy's Law is green as fraud. So just be careful anytime someone says something's green.
Well, we have a pattern of behavior here. You know, I think it's important when you talked about this before, you discovered a pattern of collusion between EPA bureaucrats and truck competitors to these the people who are recycling the big 18-wheelers and doing it more efficiently, doing it cheaper, you know, saving the environment, saving people money. Their competitors who were selling brand new trucks at Volvo were got caught conspiring with these EPA bureaucrats in order to shut down this particular company. Just in the same way, they were conspiring to shut down the entire coal industry. Right. And I would say that we pull it all the way back up to the national and international level when we look at the way that you have these different groups conspiring with the climate treaty to shut down the entire economy of America so that China and India can continue to expand their dirty power plants, regardless of what they run off. They have very dirty power plants with no controls on them whatsoever, but they're going to throttle what we're doing here in the U.S. and then the West, while they allowed them to continue to expand. So it's always being used as a weapon, whether it's against one company, one industry, or an entire nation, isn't it?
That's absolutely true. And by the way, that's Chinese-owned Volvo trucks.
Yeah, exactly. Wawo, I guess they call it.
take something like the Green New Deal, okay? And it's crazy. You know, we're going to have 100% renewable energy in 10 years. No one's going to fly. No one's going to eat meat. Yeah, all that stuff. Okay, everybody knows that's not realistic, even if, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez thought for just 5 seconds. She knows that's realistic. But the point of it is not to get us to 100% renewable energy, even if that was a good idea. The point is to get the power over us. Okay, what the left yes. wants is power. Lindsey Graham, you know, God bless him, you know, during the Kavanaugh hearings, he hit that point hard. He said, you guys just want power, and I hope you never get it. And that's what the Green Deal is about. It's not that, you know, even the communists are going to need gasoline and electricity and coal. I mean, they can't get rid of them. Nobody can. It's impossible. But they want the power. And they're going to use this sort of this virtue signaling, green virtue signaling, to get the power. You know, I wrote a book in 2009 called Green Hell, How Environmentalists Plan to Control Your Life and What You Can Do to Stop Them. And that's what this is all about. It's just a power grab. You know, green is the new red.
Yeah, yeah. Green and red. You know, it's just like Christmas, Santa Claus. They come to you as Santa Claus, but they're really Karl Marx and Chairman Mao, which is even more dangerous. We'll be right back with Steve Malloy. Again, you can find him at junkscience.com, also on Twitter at junkscience. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Steve Malloy. And, of course, you can find him at junkscience.com, also on Twitter at junkscience. Steve's written several books. One of those is Scare Pollution and How to Fix the EPA. And, of course, a lot of this is reliant on scare tactics. I want him to tell us how to fix the EPA, but also I want to talk about the latest fear-mongering from the guy who just his name is Brecker, I think. Wallace Smith Brecker, I think is the way he pronounced his last name. He just passed away, and on his deathbed, he gave us a video. This guy who popularized the term global warming now has a solution for us all, and it will probably result in our deaths as well. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, your book, Steve, Scare Pollution, How Do We Fix the EPA, and Are We on the Right Track? It sounds like we're on the right track with Wheeler, hopefully.
Yeah, so my book is about the $600 million worth of scientific fraud that the Obama EPA exploited to destroy the coal industry. And it's probably the most thorough debunking of EPA junk science ever. And it is not to be immodest, but it is reshaping EPA policy as we speak. I was on the transition team, and so you know it's content is being implemented at EPA slowly, but you know with so much resistance over there, so hard to do anything.
Well, I think one of the key things, and you could tell it was key because of the reaction of the EPA scientists and bureaucrats, is like you know when Scott Pruitt said you're going to have to publish your data. If you're going to actually claim that you got studies and we got a problem here and we're going to address it, show us your data. And they freaked out. They didn't want that data there. I mean, that's if you're going to have science, then you can't have science without peer review and having the data there.
Yeah, that was kind of the core scientific fraud of my book. You know, there were these studies that were published by Harvard claiming that air pollution was killing people. And so when people started asking, you know, the Harvard researchers for the data, you know, they wouldn't cough it up. And when they asked EPA for the
data, no pun intended.
even the taxpayers that are paying for these studies, you know, EPA wouldn't make the researchers cough it up. Congress subpoenaed EPA for this data, couldn't get it. This data remains secret to this day. And I think it remains secret because it's fraud. It's just pure fraud. And so EPA right now is changing its rules so that secret science can no longer be used as a basis for regulation.
And of course, secret science is one thing that is used to cover up experimenting on humans. You know, that I'm sure that it is a great I haven't read the book, but I'm sure it is a great expose because you're a great researcher. You found that. You found the information about these, the inside emails on these glider trucks and so forth. But, there was obvious fraud on the EPA website as well, besides the fact that they're out there saying, well, it's not going to make you sick. It's going to kill you. And then they expose people to 72 times the level that they currently had. They had on the EPA's website itself, where they talked about fine particulate matter, they had a picture of the Smoky Mountains, and they said, this is an example of fine particulate matter. And it's like, are you kidding me? The Smoky Mountains were, they were given that name essentially, even before, certainly before there was any industry, before the Europeans even got there.
Yeah, there's so much misinformation. Spanish explorers noticed that the L.A. Basin was polluted in the 16th century, and that's long before LA developed. There's any traffic there. So there's a lot about air pollution, air quality, the environment. People don't. Everyone cares about the environment, but nobody wants to learn anything about it. I unfortunately have spent the last 30 years of my life working on the environment, learning about it, and it's really shocking. And when these younger people like Ocasio-Cortez come out, I mean, she knows nothing about the environment. Most people in Congress know nothing about the environment. None of Ocasio-Cortez's, millennial followers know anything. And they have these crazy policies. They don't know anything about the environment or energy. They're going to redesign our whole electrical grid. I mean, we're all going to be in the dark and we're going to die if we get power.
So they're in the dark and they want to put us in the dark. You're talking about the fact that everybody wants to talk about the environment, but nobody wants to learn about it. A corollary to that, of course, is what Mark Twain said, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. But they are now proposing to do something about it. We got this guy who just died, and he was the guy who popularized the term global warming back in 1975, just as global cooling was going out of fashion. And as he's dying, he puts out a deathbed video and says, we're going to have to create a solar shield, and to do that, this is what he means by it, it's going to be sulfur. They're going to put sulfur dioxide in the atmosphere, 70,000 feet above the Earth, a massive amount of it in order to, he thinks, cool or to adjust the thermostat, whatever. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with that?
I hate to speak ill of the dead, but, we're going to blot out the sun now? It's crazy. EPA has spent the last 40 years taking sulfur dioxide out of the air. Now we're going to put it back in. And
it's called job protection, I guess.
What are we trying? What climate are we trying to create, or what are we trying to achieve? I don't even know what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, well, that's a good point because when they have these geoengineering conferences, one of the papers that I read a couple of years ago, the guy said, the question is, who gets to set the thermostat globally? Some people want it cooler, some people want it warmer. So we're going to fight over the thermostat like the husband and wife do in your home. It's like, it's too cold, it's too hot. That's what they're going to wind up doing. It's absolutely insane. But they've changed, they flipped the narrative. Just like, they went from cooling to warming. Now they're going from, you guys, it's man-made global warming. And now they're saying man-made climate change. Now they're saying, it's the sun that's affecting our climate. And, of course, it is. So let's block out the sun. And we're going to treat carbon dioxide and sunlight as evil things for the planet. We're going to save the planet by killing all the plants because the plants need the CO2 and they need sunlight. So let's get rid of that and save the planet.
And so deep down, they must realize how ridiculous this is. And you can only conclude that this is just about getting the power, and that can't happen because they're insane.
Yes, exactly. I think that's the core takeaway from all this. But we do have to talk about how absurd this is. It's fun to talk about it. Let's hope that they never succeed in getting the power to actually do this kind of stuff. I'm looking at this article from Zero Hedge, and they got a picture of this guy getting a Medal of Science award from Bill Clinton, a guy who wants to inject massive amounts of sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere like a volcano would, and he's getting science medals from these people.
Well, the whole science establishment, I mean, the entire science establishment has bought into this nonsense because for many years they were paid to do it. You know, since over the past 20 years, the U.S. government has probably invested $200 billion into this nonsense. So, of course, it's purchased the entire scientific establishment since they all live off the federal government.
Yeah, it's not just medals that they're handing out. It's massive cash grants that they're handing out. Follow the money and understand that. I mean, it's just like, you know, that is their industry that they are subsidizing, their research industry. Just like, you know, we see pointing out in the first segment, we're talking about how they, you know, they shut down in favor of one company. They shut down another company in favor of another industry, like the, solar power industry. They want to shut down coal. And people don't recognize the fact that there are, regardless of what the source of power is, if you're going to make solar panels, there are energy and environmental issues associated with that. There are geopolitical issues associated with acquiring the very rare metals that are needed for solar panels and for the electric car batteries. They don't last forever. There's a manufacturing process that's involved in all that stuff. So everything that we do to generate energy is going to have some kind of a negative component to it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the foundation for a single windmill has about 75 tons of rebar, 750 cubic yards of concrete. That's just for a single windmill, and there, they want to put up tens of thousands of these things. And then you've got, as you mentioned, the rare earth metals, which are all mined in China under the most horrible conditions, with no concern for the environment at all. You can't do any of this stuff without fossil fuels. No solar panels, no windmills, no dams. Nothing that's called clean energy can be done without concrete and steel and plastic.
But they don't look at the details. They just figure, it's like electricity. It's totally clean. I just flip the switch and I don't see an exhaust or gas. I don't smell anything. It just works, right?
So why is that? It's because all they want is the power. They think they can do it by just saying, we're for unicorns and cotton candy for everyone. Give us the power and it'll happen.
That's right. Well, let's hope that they don't ever get power, because if they do, none of us will have any kind of power. We won't have political power. We won't have power of our own lives. And we certainly won't have any electrical power on the grid. Thank you for joining us, Steve Malloy, junkscience.com, Twitter at junkscience. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment, it's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Now, Breitbart points out that in Texas alone, we have 200 cases of mumps. Ah, but it's from migrants. These are people who are in migrant detention camps in Texas. They've diagnosed 200 cases of mumps. Now, ask yourself why we haven't had any reporting by anybody other than Breitbart, who is not really talking about this in terms of a health issue so much as they're talking about it in terms of immigration. Mainstream media is on fire with story after story after story about measles. Because with measles, we got 50 cases of measles in Washington state, and it is a state of emergency declared by the governor up there, who, by the way, is now running for president. just file that one away under future reference. But they freak out about it when it's measles. They're not so concerned about Ebola. We brought people, the CDC, the Center for Disease Spreading, went to Africa and brought back people who had Ebola. And then, you know, as you they discovered a case of Ebola up in Dallas, you had the local official there who was sucking up to Obama. He did everything except lick the walls of the apartment these people are living in just to show us how we shouldn't panic about this. So it's okay. It's okay. Diseases have civil rights, right? And so if it's a disease that's brought in by an immigrant, nothing to worry about, even if it's Ebola, you know, where the vast majority of people who get it die hemorrhaging from every part of their body. Not to worry about that. But if it's something like measles, even a few of these, oh, we got to shut down these anti-vaxxers. But if it's 200 cases of mumps, more than they have now diagnosed throughout the country, throughout the nation of measles, they've got 200 cases just in detention camps in Texas of migrants. Not going to worry about that. Everybody get your measles, mumps, rubella shot, your MMR shot. But they're not worried about the mumps because it's coming from migrants, even though there's more cases of mumps. Absolutely amazing to me. And so you've got this narrative that is out there. Yesterday, I saw this story on National Geographic. I saw the story on the Drudge Report about some Mayan burial site that was discovered and then covered up by this guy, and it remained dormant for like another 60 years, and they just remembered about it. I went down and opened it up again, and well, we're going to find out about the Mayan civilization. Let me tell you what happened to the Mayans. They engaged in human sacrifice, and God destroyed them. God destroys every civilization that engages in human sacrifice. File that away for future reference when we talk about abortion. That's what you should be concerned about. As I was looking about that Mayan story, I saw this on National Geographic's. Measles vaccines protect against more than just measles, and here's how. And it's like, oh, please tell me more. Measles is spiking worldwide. Again, more panic being so even by National Geographic, everybody is on the same page with this government narrative to panic everybody about measles. Don't be concerned about mumps because it's coming from migrants. You know, if you had mumps cases that were out there. And of course, the establishment conservative media isn't going to talk about it unless they couch it in terms of immigration. They're not going to talk about it in terms of people opposed to having vaccines shoved down their throats or shoved into their arms. Let's put it that way. But National Geographic is out there saying, well, we know there's a measles epidemic. And when we come back, I will tell you how they blatantly lie about both measles and vaccines in this National Geographic story that, of course, is put out there. Part of the establishment narrative of fear-mongering. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I was saying at the top of the hour, we have National Geographic joining the hysteria of mainstream media, telling us how bad measles are and how wonderful vaccines are. Measles vaccines protect against more than just measles. And here's how, they say. As we see this massive epidemic of measles going everywhere, and as I pointed out, they don't want to talk about the fact that we have 200 cases right now in the Texas detention centers. Migrants migrating disease into this country. That's something for them to worry about, right? But they don't worry about that. We don't want to blame migrants for anything. No, we're going to blame the people who say they are Americans. And as Americans, you don't give me any kind of medicine without my informed consent. You're not going to inject me or my children with anything without my consent. Oh, we got to stop those people. Got to demonize those people. So they come out and they say, well, measles is spiking worldwide. We got 98 countries reporting more cases in 2018 than the prior year. Measles. It's just measles, folks. Don't panic. You'll be okay. These are the same people panicking over this that had no problem with Ebola, but now they're panicking over measles. Why? Because they've got an agenda. Here's their agenda. Listen to what they talk about. Measles is spread through the air. It's highly contagious, and it can linger in a room for up to 2 hours after the infected person has left. See, it's worse than Ebola. You know, we had the mayor, you know, CDC brought in people with Ebola, the councilman or something who was sitting right next to Obama. When Obama came to Dallas when they had that Ebola case there in that apartment complex, Obama comes in, they put everybody in the room. They had the governor at the time there. It was Rick Perry. Rick Perry is sitting way down on the end of the table, like the stepchild. And you got this guy who is, you know, had gone to the apartment, and he's like, you know, licking the floor, licking the walls, telling everybody, see, it's just Ebola. It's nothing, no problem. Nothing, no problem at all. He was sitting right next to Obama, just, you know, because he had done what they wanted. And so now measles are worse than Ebola. And then they go on with this lie. Measles not only weakens your immune system in the short term. Well, yeah, you get measles, you're going to have a weakened immune system. Any disease is going to tax your immune system, right? And so do vaccines, don't they? Vaccines tax your immune system by design. Sometimes they give you dead virus. Sometimes they give you just weakened virus. Oh, so your immune system is going to have to do something. It's going to have to do something in order to try to create immunity. And then they add adjuvants to the vaccines, in addition to the preservatives. They add adjuvants, things to irritate your immune system, because they found they weren't getting the same kind of immunity that they wanted to. You know, they'd give people shots, and then people wouldn't get immunity to that disease. And so they said, well, let's irritate the immune system. Fire it up. So, yeah, it does weaken your immune system. That's the whole reason why people who get the flu vaccine, for things that aren't necessarily the, you know, they don't get it from the flu vaccine itself necessarily, but they have a weakened immune system. So they're more susceptible to the strains of flu that are out there, whether or not they were part of that vaccine. But they put it in this National Geographic system article that it's the immune system is weakened from the measles. And the virus seems to wipe out your immune system's memory. Okay, now I agree that it weakens your immune system because you're fighting the disease, but it doesn't wipe out your immune system's memory. When you get measles, when you get a real disease like that, you have real immunity, unlike the people who are vaccinated twice and still wind up coming up with that disease. How many times have we had situations where they scratch their heads and they say, well, you know, the case up in New York State where patient zero was not only vaccinated for measles, but vaccinated twice for measles. That's why they do it twice, because it doesn't convey immunity. You know, that's an admission right there that doesn't convey immunity. But they paint it exactly the other way with National Geographic. They're lying to you, folks. Virus seems to wipe out your immune system's memory, causing the body to forget how to fight off things that it already conquered. That's not true. For some people, this immune amnesia may linger for more than 2 years. But then they go on to say that the vaccine gives you gives your immune system a memory. And that's not true at all. That's why they give it to you twice. Now, here's what they don't want you to know. This is an article from the Free Thought Project. As government pushes mandatory vaccination, that's the issue. They're not worried about any disease. They weren't worried about Ebola. They're not worried about any of these diseases. They want to push mandatory vaccination. As they worry about that, as they push that narrative, contaminated vaccines have been found in 3 states to cause infection. And again, they point out the headlines that I read to you last week. For God's sake, vaccinate your kids. Measles is on the rise. Telling anti-vaxxers won't fix it because they're stupid. However, vaccines given in Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana are causing infections. That was one headline that they quickly deep-sixed, flushed it down the memory hole. As they point out, it's hard to foster fear over a non-existent epidemic to encourage people to vote away their right to informed consent when the very medicines being mandated are found to be contaminated and causing infections. But that is what happened in Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana. Last month, the health department in Kentucky found out that vaccines for the flu, whooping cough, and hepatitis A not only weren't working, but they were infecting people. This was pointed out by WKRC. The company Location Vaccination started providing vaccines for businesses in Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana in September, shortly after some people started noticing swelling and lumps at the injection site. Only after multiple people across the three states began complaining of infections did the health department step in and realize the vaccines had been contaminated. They had been improperly stored. And these symptoms can show up to 3 months after getting the shot. Now, that reminds me of the case in Samoa that happened, I think it was last summer. You had kids going in for the MMR shots. One child dies immediately after the shot. Another mother says, I'm not going to get the shot for the kid today. No, it's perfectly safe. No, you have to do this. They literally tore the child away from the mother, gave the child the shot, and the second child immediately died in her arms. Now, that got a lot of people upset. It was in Samoa. It wasn't reported by our media, mainstream media. I talked about it quite a bit. But it got a lot of people upset about that. Now, they eventually charged the nurses with crimes and said, well, we think that they probably didn't administer this properly, or maybe it had expired. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. These things can expire? We never heard that risk of vaccines before pointed out to us, because they don't care about our informed consent. It's yet another risk involved in these things. But it raises a lot of very troubling questions. When they go after the nurses, right, what do? They gave legal immunity to the hospitals. Oh, we're not going to charge the hospitals with improper handling of the vaccines. If these things spoiled because they weren't refrigerated or whatever the issue was, you know, they quickly swept this under the carpet, found their scapegoats and the nurses for these two deaths. And everybody's, oh, everything's fine. You can get your vaccines again now. We don't have to worry about whether or not these things were contaminated by the manufacturer. We don't have to worry about if there was something unsafe in it. We don't have to worry about the procedures at the hospital. No, the manufacturers, the big pharmaceutical companies, as well as the hospitals, will be protected. It's just you who will not be protected. Isn't that amazingly like what we did here in the United States in 1986? When we gave legal immunity to the vaccine companies, why did they need that if their product is completely safe? They were begging for it. They were demanding it from their politicians that they had in their pocket. And they got it. They got immunity. Of course, they don't tell you about the vaccine court. You'll have to find out about that. But it's not due process, and they don't want your informed consent. And they will protect these people. The people who get immunity in this whole vaccine process are the big corporations who get immunity from being sued. All right, stay with us. We're going to have Paul Joseph Watson joining us in the next segment, live here in the studio. We're going to talk about what's going on with Brexit and other issues from Europe. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Set me free.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Paul Joseph Watson from London. He's in studio with us. And, of course, I don't know, Paul, have you had a good English breakfast this morning? Because they're banning ads in the public transport about bacon, jam, and butter. You can't show bacon, eggs, and butter. Even though they're free-range eggs, even though it's butter from local farmers, that's what they're advertising. That's now being banned by Sharia Khan, as I call him.
They also introduced an advertising guideline over the past couple of months where you can't show a woman performing a typically female task like washing dishes in the kitchen or doing the laundry. They've actually banned that on television. Now, you can't show if a woman's cooking or cleaning, a man has to be in the same scene cooking and cleaning.
Wow.
So it's absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, I'm wondering whether they're banning it for the fatty food or they're banning it because the bacon might trigger our Muslim community in the United Kingdom. They banned beach body ads for being too graphic on the London Underground and across London. So maybe that's for the same reason.
The sad thing about it was this organization called Farm Drop kind of groveled before them and said, well, the ban is coming from the right place, but its handling has been clumsy. In other words, We understand you guys have our best health, at heart, because you don't want us having high fat and sugars and salty food and so forth. So you're coming from the right place, or maybe they meant when they said the right place, maybe they meant it's just coming from Sharia Khan.
No, I mean, we have to abide by the sensitivities of our growing population, who at this point, mm-hmm. as you've seen with the story yesterday, the transgenderism in the schools, they certainly get their own way more times than not.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a situation where UK citizens are being arrested for liking tweets about transgenderism. There was a limerick which was joking about transgender people. This guy liked the tweet. He didn't even write the limerick. He didn't even mm-hmm. post it. He just liked it.
Just liked it.
And the police called up his employer.
Wow.
And said, are there any transgender people working at your company? It was like construction or something. And they got investigated, and he got told to, quote, change his thinking and stop liking or retweeting limericks about transgender people. So they will literally call up your employer now. We've got literal thought police in the United Kingdom. But you can get 600 Muslim parents pulling their kids out of the schools, and they're not going to get investigated by the police, to say the least.
Well, and we've had Twitter. I've seen this happen at least a half dozen times. When it happens to somebody who is a well-known figure, they get a notification from Twitter that what they said about Islam or something against the law in Pakistan. So mm-hmm. watch yourself. But, they're not making any bones about it in the UK that they are basically operatives, social media and government are working together. Here they try to maintain the fact that, this is a private company that is taking away your free speech. And that's okay because it's a private company that's destroying your God-given rights. But in the UK, they work openly with these social media companies to intimidate people, to go to their houses, to intimidate them, as you point out, call and threaten this employer.
Yeah. And the other aspect of this is the Islamophobia aspect. The Labour Party tried to introduce a law when they were last in power, and if they would have won in 2015, they would have introduced it. It was on their campaign, it was on their platform, to make Islamophobia a crime. Islamophobia, the term Islamophobia, was invented by fundamentalist Iranians in the 70s as a means of torturing, incarcerating, locking people up who criticized Islam or who were apostates, essentially. Mm-hmm. So this term that was literally created by Islamic radicals back in the 70s is now being used to police our free speech. And you had the anti-Semitism resolution in Congress the other day. AOC is now calling for an anti-Islamophobia resolution. And again, that could turn into a law later on down the line. So yeah, in the UK, they can literally show up to your house and accuse you of hate speech and cart you away. There was a woman who had a couple of kids, and one of them was disabled. The police just showed up in her kitchen, confiscated her laptop. She didn't get a laptop or a phone back for months. And she went to prison, again, for calling a woman a man. Somebody who claimed to be a woman, who is obviously not biologically a woman, called her a man, was arrested in front of her crying children, carted off to jail. They confiscated all her possessions. So it's getting scarier, and if they codify that into law, whereby we have an Islamophobia law, many, many people are going to go to prison. I wouldn't even be able to make the content that I make on YouTube if that happens.
Well, as I was saying the other day when I was talking about leaving Neverland, I said, everybody is rightfully criticizing these parents, saying, didn't you know that you were turning your kid over to this pedophile and you paid no attention to what was going on? And yet, we've had situations in the past, as we've seen over the last couple of decades, we've gone from a situation where you had parents threatened or arrested because they said, I don't want my kid in this sex education class because they're too young for this. And they were just talking about heterosexual sex, but they said, no, it's not appropriate for their age. And they said, they took it to the judge up in Massachusetts. The judge said, when you take your kids and drop them off at school, you have surrendered them to the state in loco parentis. We are operating in place of the parents. And so shut up, you've got nothing to say about that. And under that same principle, they're doing the same thing with the transgender stuff and so forth. And we have to ask, are we as parents, when we drop our kids off, because I think most parents, even though we talk about this on a regular basis, what they're doing to kindergartners and so forth, most parents can't imagine that this type of thing is happening to their kids. But it is very similar to what is what happened with the parents who were dropping their kids off at Neverland. You know, we've got another kind of Neverland in the schools where they don't want you to ever grow up. And another kind of blind eye being turned by parents who don't really want to know what is happening in these schools. I think Michael Jackson is due for a big comeback in a few years. I think he's going to have a revival of his career here because he's going to become the entertainer of choice as we move towards pedophilia. I think that's where they're going with all this transgender stuff.
Well, exactly. And I mean, we have kids as young as 4 and 5 in the United Kingdom being taught some forms of sex education. No form of sex education.
That's
children
right.
should not be exposed to that, I would say, below the age of, I don't know, 12. Maybe some people would say older than that. But 5-year-old kids mm-hmm. being taught about sex education, forget the LGBT angle, forget the trans angle, whatever. No exposure to any kind of that information whatsoever. And as he said, these schools are being turned into indoctrination camps. We've got a situation in the UK whereby teenage boys have been in school on school computers, visited UKIP websites. UKIP, at its peak, was the third largest political party in the United Kingdom. I'm a member of UKIP now. That was in the news 6 months ago. But they visit a UKIP website on a school computer, and then they get put in a prevent anti-terror program simply for visiting the website of the third largest political party in the United Kingdom because it's right-wing. So they're now treating.
Well, of course, if you wear a MAGA cap, you're obviously a Nazi here in the United States, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing. That's the way they demonize people.
I mean, it's absolutely frightening. Homeschooling is nowhere near as big in the UK as it is here. In many European countries, it's banned altogether, I think, in Germany.
Do they allow it in the UK?
Yeah, but you have to jump through, like, 30 flaming hoops.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Because in Germany, I mean, they come after people with a vengeance. They wouldn't even let people who were in violation of some of their rules, even escaped the country. They arrested them at the airport so far. We're going to be right back with Paul Joseph Watson. We've got to take a quick break. Stay with us.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Here in studio with us is Paul Joseph Watson from the UK. He's here in Austin right now. And we're just talking about what's going on with the transgender agenda pushed towards kids who are very, very young. As we had the fight years ago saying, below a certain age, I don't want you in the schools talking to my kids about sex of any flavor. Okay, now we had the Cardinal Pell case, whereas he's convicted and found guilty. His lawyer during the sentencing thing said, you should go light on him. It was just plain vanilla sex. No, it was statutory rape at the very least because of the age. And I think that, Paul, is really the essence of this. I think that they are trying to get to these kids in kindergarten to say that they can make a determination about what gender they are long before they even get close to puberty. They can make this decision about what gender they are. Then, of course, they can make a decision about consensual sex, and we can get rid of all the pedophile laws. I think that's really the strategy that they're headed to.
Well, exactly. And as we were talking about during the break, once the kids were exposed to this idea that they can choose their own gender, that's when you saw in the stats the numbers of kids doing that skyrocket. So mm-hmm. this was not happening before the parents, before the schools enforce this upon the children. So again, when they're exposed to something, they embrace it thinking that it's expected of them because they're highly impressionable. And as I said before the break, sex education is now compulsory in UK schools for 4-year-old kids, 4 years old.
That's amazing.
We had a headline here from back
I can't understand anything. At 4 years old.
I can't even remember when I was 4 years old. My first memory is like 5.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's insane. You know, there was just a case that Leo Zagami reported on this. This is a pedophile priest who was literally caught with his pants down with a 10-year-old girl.
Hmm.
Now, the court ordered him to pay €50,000 to the girl. Her parents, however, did not get any damages because the court rightfully said they were partly to blame for letting their daughters hang out with this pervert, just like we're talking about with the Michael Jackson situation. Or, as put this into the situation we have with the government schools, when we have all of these stories about them doing these things, these kids in kindergarten and elementary school, why are you surrendering your kids to these schools here? But his excuse was this. He said, the devil tricked me. He went back to footballs and devil made me do it. He said he thought the girl was 15 years old. And it's like, that would still be wrong if she was 15 years old, because that's why we have these statutory limits here.
No, precisely. And going back to the school issue, it's even worse in Sweden. There was a kindergarten in Sweden where they told the boys to wear dresses. They banned using the words he and she. So it's not just saying, oh, here's some information about being transgender, whatever. They literally put 5-year-old boys in dresses on a regular occasion just, to be tolerant, to be inclusive. No. And as you said, the responsibility is with the parents. Don't let your kids go near any school where that is even entertained. We had a story about it, actually, on InfoWars, and they literally put the boys and the girls. And then a whistleblower came out and tried to question it and obviously got fired and got called transphobic. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's about control. It's about domination. It's about, gaslighting these kids, getting them to say that 2 + 2 = 5. I mean, that is the ultimate goal of these authoritarians.
It's absolutely sick. And speaking of indoctrination, I want to talk about this, David, because I made videos about this. The numerous cases of mainly young women who go traveling to dangerous areas of the world and don't make it back, or they're viciously raped. We had a case 3 months ago, two Scandinavian hikers went to this remote mountainous region of Morocco. That was one of the videos about the issue. And they went there thinking that the world is a utopia. They were raped and beheaded by ISIS militants. Mm. This happens routinely. There was another famous case of a couple who cycled through the Balkans, through the Middle East. They had written blogs saying that our view of the world as a dangerous place is bigoted and based on our own inherent racism to believe that mountainous regions of Morocco where ISIS fanatics are active, that that's dangerous. That's just our bigoted view of the world. And what was interesting about this case, and it was in the New York Times, I think you just flashed it up there, they had written blogs prior to being killed. They ended up being mowed down again by ISIS and then stabbed in Tajikistan. But what was interesting, before that happened, they'd written blog after blog in each different country, Morocco, a lot of other Islamic countries, and they were getting harassed. They were getting robbed. In one case, the guy got nearly run over. They were getting grabbed on, and yet they still wrote these blogs saying, oh, but the world is a utopia and everything is peaceful and la-di-da-di-da.
Still apologizing for it.
Still apologizing, even though in every country they went to, non-European country, obviously some countries are safer than others, they were harassed. The woman was groped. The man was almost beaten up. And yet they didn't learn. And now we've got this story. The Independent, which is a big left-wing newspaper in Britain, is recommending single women go hiking alone in Morocco. They've got an ad on their website for International Women's Day. 10 of the best female-only trips for solo travelers. And one of them is a hike in Morocco. Again, two Scandinavian women brutally slaughtered, beheaded by ISIS in Morocco. There's case after case of this. I made two videos on it. There was a woman in Israel who hiked across the Middle East to prove that Islam was a religion of peace, raped and killed. It's happened over and over again. There was a case in, I think it was Somalia. It was an African country a couple of months ago where it was a Canadian couple. And again, they were eco-activists. They were very liberal. The woman had dreadlocks. They went to an African country that was deemed unsafe by the Canadian government for anyone to visit there. I think it was Mali. They eventually ended up in Mali. And again, they disappeared. They've been gone for months. There are so many cases of this. People come back and say, oh, but not everyone's going to get killed if they go to a dangerous country. Obviously not. But the world is a dangerous place, and this is cultural relativism. This is the belief that all cultures are equal and that arguing against that is a form of bigotry, is a form of racism. No, some cultures are better than others. I made videos about this endlessly.
But it's also part of the bigger picture of how the left everywhere will talk about women's rights all the time and yet elevate Islam, which is the most antithetical system and culture against women's rights you can imagine anywhere. They create works of fiction, Margaret Atwood and her Handmaid's Tale. It's like you don't need to imagine an American patriarchy oppressing women. Just do a story about Saudi Arabia or something. I mean, you know, they go to these extremes to apologize or to ignore what's going on in Islam. At the beginning of the program, I played the clip of this American well, she's not even American, but her citizenship is, I think, not valid. But they call her the American ISIS bride. Yeah. And when she was quizzed about her social media tweet saying, yeah, you know, on these various holidays, I want you to run Americans over, you know, kill them and slay them this way and that way. She said, oh, I was just going through a phase.
The UK ISIS bride who said, she was not unfazed by seeing decapitated heads in bins because they were enemies of Islam, and she's trying to get back into the UK. Wow. And the left wing is pushing her, getting, you know, the big sympathy vote behind her.
Wow.
The you know, you talk about Islam and feminism. We have the international celebration of the hijab on a regular basis by the media. This is a garment that Muslim women remove immediately upon being liberated from ISIS control because ISIS forces them to wear the full burqa, the full niqab. Mm-hmm. They're the first ones to liberate it. The very first Muslim feminist group in Egypt back in the 1920s, they staged a protest in which they whipped off all their hijabs. Women in Iran are incarcerated, tortured, put in prison for letting their hijab slip.
In America, we got the Democrats who are always virtue signaling about protecting women. They go out of their way to have Ilhan Omar be able to wear a hijab as a member of Congress. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Haven't we progressed?
It's a symbol of the international oppression of women. And in the West, we're told to celebrate it as this great feminist garment. It isn't.
All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Paul Joseph Watson about what's going on with globalism in Europe. And, of course, Macron has got his back against the wall. He's now trying to attack Brexit in order to get reelected. Welcome back. We have Paul Joseph Watson in studio with us. And we're going to going to be talking about what's going on in the UK. I thought it's pretty amazing that Emmanuel Macron put out a letter in 22 languages so that every country in the European Union could see it, attacking Brexit and praising European federalism. Boy, he's got his back against the wall. He should, of course, what he's doing is trying to distract attention from the Yellow Vest protests that have now been going on. I don't know. It started back in the fall. I don't know how many weeks it's been going, 15 weeks or something like that. Before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the specials that we got at InfoWarsStore.com because, folks, that's what funds our operation here. That's what funds our fight to keep free speech and a free press going. And we have been the tip of the spear. One of the things that Macron wants to do is if he believes that your speech is hate speech, he wants to ban you from all social media for life. Well, that's already been done here in America. He's a little bit late on that. All you have to do is have some speech that they dislike, and then they say that you are hateful. And since they hate you, they're going to bully you, and they're going to ban you for life. That's happened to Alex Jones here. So Macron is a little bit behind the curve. We've already got that going here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. If you want to fight against that, folks, support us here at InfoWars. We've got DNA Force Plus. It's been out of stock. It is now coming back in stock, and for a limited time, we have it at 33% off. We also have Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. We're bringing back the original formula on that by popular demand, and you can sign up to get that as part of a pre-order. It'll be arriving soon. And finally, we have Alpha Power and Bodies, both at 50% off. A great way to amp up your workout and also help your body to fight inflammation, both joint inflammation and other types of inflammation. Bodies is very powerful, all natural ingredients. You can get it 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Paul, let's talk a little bit about what's going on Brexit. But let's begin by talking about this obvious ploy by Macron to try to distract attention away from what's going on as people are furious that he has implemented these globalist schemes to tax and control people's transportation, to make it impossible for people to be able to even commute into the bigger cities like Paris because they're going to raise the taxes so high. They want to pack everybody into these smart cities and control them and so forth. And these people have had enough. It's going across the political spectrum. They're just saying, we can't live this way. It's the same type of revolution we're going to have if AOC and her crowd ever get control and implement any of these policies that are part of the Green New Deal. He's already done it as part of the Green New Deal, and people are throwing up yellow vests at him.
Well, they had the Green New Deal in Spain, and it led to 50% youth unemployment, 25% unemployment across the board. It was the exact same program. Mm-hmm. In France, you've got a situation whereby, and the French philosopher Eric Zemmour has talked about this, the Yellow Vest movement is based on this idea that the elites have abandoned the working class. To some extent, the elites used to represent the working class, at least to some extent. At least
well, they would use them as their shock troops like they're using the Muslims right now.
Yeah,
right?
But now they've imported a slave class of immigrants to be their servants, and so the native people remaining in those European countries are no longer required at any level. So this is why they're talking about universal basic income, a kind of ploy to satisfy them, to make them stay in the background, to shut them up so they don't get out on the streets, so they're not rioting, so they're not giving this impression of France being in turmoil. So that's what I see happening in France. They're being culturally replaced. They have a Muslim population of officially about 8%. It's probably way higher than that. They've got 400,000 illegal immigrants in one area of Paris alone, Saint-Denis area, and they've got massive problems, again, with rising violent crime, rising sexual assaults, as we've seen across Europe. Macron's got a low approval rating, and it's only going further south.
Well, and I think, you know, the long-term plan of what these people are doing, very quickly they're replacing the foreign workers with robots. So they had domestic labor. They're replacing them with foreign labor that is cheaper, but they're going to replace that foreign labor with robots. And then they've got a problem because what do they do with all the angry people now who don't have jobs? Well, you know, they can fight each other. And that's one of the reasons why they're bringing Islam in there. But I think it's amazing what Macron is doing here, trying to distract attention from his problems as he's got an election coming up. Of course, you always shift attention away from your failed domestic policies to the foreign other, the other enemy. And of course, you know, evidently France's problems are all because of Brexit, which hasn't even happened. He calls for European federalism. He said that Brexit is, quote, an irresponsible lie peddled by anger mongers backed by fake news. Oh, fake news. There we go. He's
No, the point is, Brexit was designed to fail from the beginning. We've got this impression, this narrative that, oh, Theresa May is just bad at negotiating. No, she's a globalist. This was designed to fail from the start. In fact, it's just come out today, David, from the Bruges Group, which is a political group which has deep government connections. I know some of the people in it. And it turns out that Theresa May met with Angela Merkel in July 2018 for the official Brexit deal, the one that's been going on since, is just a sideshow. She didn't even meet with EU officials. She just worked it out with Merkel. For this deal to be an absolute disaster, for it to fail, we're going to be kind of half in, half out. So economically, we're not going to be able to make good trade deals. So they want it to fail to create the momentum for us to re-enter the EU in 2020, 2021, whenever the case may be.
So is this the sort of thing where they're still going to control your trade? You're just not going to have a vote in saying anything about any of that, right?
Yeah, yep. We're not going to have a seat at the table, but we're still going to be in the customs union. That's what this whole Irish backstop is about. We're going to have there can't be a hard border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, so they're going to keep us in the EU customs union. That's not, we voted for the exact opposite of that. It's a complete betrayal of what 17.4 million people voted for.
And I knew that was what was going to happen when they passed over every other candidate for prime minister and went with Theresa May. Everybody else that was there, as Cameron stepped down, he had opposed it, and so he had to step down. So they said, well, let's get somebody to replace him. he's got to leave because he opposed Brexit and lost on that issue. So they find the one candidate, Theresa May, who had opposed it. Everybody else had at least spoken in favor of it. And you know, I know from watching American politics, it's difficult enough to get a politician to follow through when he says he supports something. If they don't support it from the beginning, of course it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and remember, her chief Brexit negotiator is a guy called Ollie Robbins, who literally wrote glowing articles about how great Stalin was during his university days. That's the chief negotiator for Brexit. But, you know, there are going to be consequences. We had poll tax riots in 1990. Could we have Brexit riots? It's possible. There was a hedge fund manager called Crispin Odey who said, in the long term, usually what the people want, the people get. Otherwise, there's a revolution. The British people are very, very polite. But when you push them too far, they snap. It's mm-hmm. happened before. Mm-hmm. I know people, hedge fund managers, who have sworn to withdraw all funding to the Conservative Party if they sabotage Brexit, which they are doing. So electorally, it's going to be a disaster. They think they can maintain their power base. They're going to be out of power because there are actual patriots, even amongst like big hedge fund managers, who want to see Brexit happen, who want to see the vote fulfilled, and so withdraw money from the Conservatives.
Do you think the strategy now of these anti-Brexit politicians is that they dither along, get right up to the hard Brexit date, and then hold that up as a horror story to get to people to get them to accept her deal? That's the plan right now?
It's more likely that they'll just delay it again and kick the can down the road. But there was a story about that, which is if the vote was rejected by Parliament to accept Theresa May's deal with EU, whatever it is, then they would create a fake financial crisis. This was in the London Times. It says they were discussing an equally dark strategy to twist arms. Number 10's plan is to encourage a crash in financial markets after losing a first vote in the hope that it stampedes MPs into voting for it for a second time. This was in the London Times. They're literally talking about triggering a financial collapse to create bedlam and panic so the Parliament votes for whatever Theresa May and the EU have decided upon, which is not a fulfillment of Brexit.
Well, of course, these people will do any of that type of thing. I mean, he talks about this being the biggest crisis since World War II. They'll create a war. They'll create an economic depression. They'll do anything to further their economic power issue. You know, he talks about the biggest crisis since World War II. You know, when you look at the EU, it certainly looks like the Germans won the war. It looks like the Germans got everything they wanted. And of course, both Macron and Merkel have proudly talked about a European army, even though it's supposedly a conspiracy theory in the run up to the Brexit vote. Immediately after the Brexit vote, they admitted it, and now they're bragging about that. That's the sad situation of Brexit. Thank you for joining us, Paul Joseph Watson, and thank you for joining us. That's the end of our program.